Please be seated. There is a thing that exists called the Awkward Moments Children's Bible. It's by this guy who calls himself Horace Gilgamesh, a pseudonym, and a wounded individual, from what I can see. He says that he grew up in the church, but was harmed by it. And so now he's written actually two books. There's a volume two where he takes stories from Scripture and points out their difficulties, the awkwardness associated with it. The story of Noah's Ark. He has a picture of the Ark and he quotes the passage about it. But unlike the pictures that we see on nurseries and in children's Bibles, he also draws the dead bodies floating around the ark, calling forth the image to remember that God had destroyed every living thing on the planet, including the people, except for those eight on the ark. He did one for the crucifixion. He called it a choose-your-own-adventure, because he points out the fact that if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as we do on Palm Sunday, that Jesus is terrified. He's scared. He prays in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me." But in John's gospel, we don't get that. We just heard the whole thing. In John's gospel, Jesus is fully in charge. He goes to the garden, but he's just there to wait for them to show up. When they say, "Are you Jesus?" he goes, "I am." And they fall back. He's not afraid. When he goes and he's crucified, he decides when it is finished, declares it is finished, and dies. It's all in Jesus' hand. So why do we have these two differing versions? Which one is true? They're both true. They're both there. It's a paradox. They're two contradictory things that I accept as true. Does it make any sense? No, none at all. But very little about Christianity makes sense. We're talking about God, after all. And God is wholly other. Because there are times when I need a Christ who feels as I do, that things are out of control, that I'm just going to have to turn it over to God and there's nothing else I can do. And other times I need that strong Christ who's always above the fray, who's always in control, in whose hands I can trust. We hold those two in tension. There's no way to read them both together at the same time. So we do one on Palm Sunday, and then we always read John's Gospel on Good Friday. Because I suspect we all need that spectrum. We all need to be confronted with the reality of the crucifixion. Even though we get different shadings, different nuances in the story, it's all part of it. There's no explaining the crucifixion. There's no explaining atonement. We have theories. We have ideas. But what happens is God became a human being and then died. And not of natural causes, not even of justified causes. Completely innocent, hauled before every court in the land and condemned. I mean, Pilate even tries to get him off. "Give me anything to work with. Don't you realize I hold your life in my hands?" But he went. He was crucified. He died and was buried. And we have to confront that. And yes, we have Easter coming, and we'll celebrate, and we'll ring bells and all those joyous things, but now we have the cross in front of us. And it is as much a reality as the resurrection. We need to look on the cross, to contemplate the mystery of God made man, and then dying for us. He died for our sins. And different people understand that in different ways. He died in place of us for our sins. but also the idea that he died because we are sinful. When humanity was confronted with perfect goodness in the person of Jesus Christ, it couldn't stand it. It was a threat. It was a challenge. It showed our own failings in sharp relief. And the one thing people could think of was get it away. Kill it. The cross is humanity's answer to perfect goodness, perfect love, perfect compassion. We don't like it because we see how far from it we are. Jesus died because we are sinful. But by doing that, by becoming incarnate and willing to suffer death and then being raised again, we're given eternal life. Despite our incredible failings and shortcomings and complete lack of warrant for it, God makes it possible. So let us contemplate the cross. Let us think on the things that God has done. Not to try to understand it, but to appreciate it and to live lives of gratitude for it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.